On Friday, I had a very unusual opportunity. There was a group home that's quite close to Trinity, and there are a number of people that live in it, and most of them, well, probably all of them, have some kind of mental disability. And it's just a couple of blocks away. And there are a group of these homes. They're called Hope Homes. And on Friday, I had the privilege of leading a memorial service for a fellow whose birthday, well, he died in August 4th. His name was Bruce. And yet, it was interesting because he was 69, but the day of the service itself would have been his 70th birthday. And it was interesting, I had met him just once, so I really didn't know him at all. And I had an opportunity to meet, you know, with his sister, and she was telling me about him and so on. So we had a number of conversations as we were preparing for the service. And one of the things I discovered is that Bruce loved classic rock. He loved, you know, 70s and 80s rock music. And it was interesting because I've led lots and lots of services, memorial services, celebrations of life, funerals, and so on. And I have to say, it was the first service I've ever done where we started the service with ABBA, great classic ABBA song, and everybody was having a good time clapping along with that, because he enjoyed that kind of music. And then we transitioned into another song that kind of squeaked into that era. It actually was recorded, first of all, in 1969, and then it was actually released officially in 1970. And many of you know the song well, and it's Bridge Over Troubled Waters. And so we played the song, you know, Bridge Over Troubled Waters, in the service, and then I gave a short message that I want to share with you today. Consider some of the words to that song. It's a beautiful song, and it's in many respects, I think it illustrates the very best that we can be to one another, if you like, from, let's say, maybe purely from a human standpoint. And it has some principles that I think are very valid and very valuable. By the way, even though I'm a preacher of the Bible, I don't believe that it's only the Bible that contains revelation from God. There is such a thing as what we refer to. We kind of use the expression, we call it natural revelation, but really it's not natural at all. That God sometimes inspires artists, he inspires poets, and truth ultimately is of God, whether we give him credit or not. It ultimately is something that God inspires. And in fact, we look at the creation, we look at the way we're made, we look at the beauty of a marriage, we look at all these things that we experience in life, the birth of a child, and so on. We have these experiences, and God, in a sense, speaks through them, so that the Bible, in fact, says that there isn't a single language or culture anywhere in the world that can somehow claim that God does not exist, because God makes himself known in and through the things that he has made. But these are the things that actually open up our minds and hearts when God then speaks further. And if our hearts become more open and receptive and willing to receive, then God ultimately, I believe, leads us to the point where we come to hear his revelation through his word, and ultimately the revelation that does come through Jesus Christ, who, interestingly enough, is referred to as the Word of God. The Word became flesh. So in other words, God speaks through creation. He speaks in all kinds of ways, but he finally speaks to us through Christ. And so the words of Bridge Over Troubled Waters contain some interesting truths that can be very helpful to us in terms of whether it's a kickoff Sunday, whether it's a marriage, whether it's in relationships at work, whatever the context. But listen to this. When you're weary, feeling small, you know, when tears are in your eyes, I'll dry them all. I'm on your side when times get rough. Notice, when friends just can't be found, like a bridge over troubled waters. Now, listen to this expression. I will lay me down, like a bridge over troubled waters. When you're down and out, when you're on the street, when evening falls so hard, I will comfort you. I'll take your part. Oh, when darkness comes and pain is all around, like a bridge over troubled waters, I will lay me down. No, I want you to kind of think through that picture. It's a picture that all of us can relate to at various times. And what the writer was writing about, Paul Simon, when he wrote the song, imagine, you know, you're walking on a path or you're driving along a road. Everything seems to be going okay. And then you come to a place where you know and expect that there's going to be a bridge. But all that you see is just raging, you know, swirling waters. The bridge has been washed out. And the metaphor is a profound one. I mean, literally, you kind of get it. And it's a pretty scary spot, right? I mean, if you've ever been there, I mean, you think of those that have been impacted by the hurricanes in the Bahamas or, you know, even in Atlantic Canada right now. So you kind of get that image. It's been in our minds. We've seen it in the news. And so we have those experiences in life. I mean, there are times where everything seems to be calm and serene and everything is just going exactly as you expect it will be. But then you have those moments when the bridge washes out in your life. And you're wishing, you know, for a friend. You're wishing that there would be someone who could be there. And as I told that story on Friday, I was encouraging the staff and the residents. And I was encouraging the family who were there. And I was saying, you know, well, Bruce had been that for some of you, but many of you played that role in his life. And many of you have taken on that role in other people's lives. You have been, if you like, a bridge over troubled waters, whether it's listening, whether it's just coming alongside and somebody's going through a downtime and you say, you know, how can I pray for you? And we have all of those different experiences. We weep with those who weep. We rejoice with those who rejoice. And we go through all of these experiences, and it's called the fact that we are the body of Christ. We are, you know, the family of God. But here's the thing that sometimes happens in life. Because sometimes our friends, even people in the church, will disappoint us. Sometimes your family will disappoint you. Sometimes, even in a 60-year marriage, there will be moments. And we all will go through those times. There are times where the friend is not there. The phone call does not come. And it hurts. And we get disappointed. But why does it happen? Well, the reality of it is because often that person themselves are going through a bridge or going through troubled waters. And, you know, they themselves are looking for a bridge and needing it. And they're so preoccupied, and often we're so preoccupied with our own issues that we're not able to come alongside those who themselves need that encouragement. And so what I pointed out on Friday is what I want to say to us today, that there comes a point in life where the very best intended friends, family, church family, pastors, all of us, that there are going to be those moments when you have a longing for somebody to, in a sense, lay down and be a bridge in your life, to be there for you, but you find yourselves disappointed, and you recognize that, you know, that longing is not going to be met. But that is the time when it's a good thing to know that there is a bridge, that there is a bridge over troubled waters. In fact, Jesus had that experience with his disciples. They were terrified because, I mean, consider, these were the guys that had seen Jesus still the storm. You know, they're in a boat and everybody's fearful and they're afraid they're going to drown. And they say, Lord, don't you care? He's asleep in the boat. And Jesus gets up, and what does he do? He speaks to the storm and the waters are stilled. Now, talk about God speaking through creation. Listen, the one who created has all the power to speak to his own creation and tell it when to rage and when to be quiet. And Jesus simply speaks the word, and that lake became calm. And the disciples pose the question, and they say, no, who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. It's a rhetorical question. Who is he? He's the one who made the winds and the waves. And he can say, be still. And they're stilled. Well, the disciples had that in their memory, but here is the thing. Jesus starts to talk to them about leaving. I mean, they had left family, in many cases, family, jobs, all these things behind. And They had given everything to him, and now Jesus says to them, I'm going to my Father's house. And they're frightened, and they don't know what to do. And Jesus says to them, you know, be at peace. He says, listen, be at peace. Don't be afraid. Don't let your minds be troubled. He says, in my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. In other words, there are many rooms. There's abundant space for all of you. You don't have to worry. And Thomas, I love Thomas because Thomas is the doubter, right? He's the guy that always asks the hard questions. At one point, remember when Jesus had risen from the dead, Thomas said, listen, unless I see with my eyes, unless I'm able to touch with my hands, I'm not going to believe. And Jesus reveals himself to him a week later, and Thomas says, you know, what else could he say? My Lord and my God. But at this moment, Thomas says, Lord, you're talking about going to your Father's house. How in the world do you expect us to know where that is or how to get there? I haven't a clue. And he rebukes Jesus. And Jesus says this. He says, look, my Father's house has many rooms. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to be with me forever. And when Thomas asked the question, Lord, where are you going? How do we get there? This is what he said. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You've got turbulent water right now. Your hearts are troubled. You're fearful. You're worried. You don't know how you're going to deal with the sin in your life. You don't know how you're going to deal with anger issues that you grapple with. You don't know how to deal with addictions. You don't know how to deal sometimes with the lustful stuff that goes on in your brain or the unforgiveness that you battle and all of the different issues that we deal with in our lives. And you're going through turbulent water and you're looking for a bridge and you're trying to figure out how am I going to get from where I am right now, how am I going to get to another place, a place of wholeness and forgiveness? How can I deal with the issues that are going on in my heart? And Jesus, like Paul Simon, he says, you know what? I'll lay down my life for you. Human bridges are going to fail you. Eventually, they all will. They're not long enough. They're not sturdy enough. They're not going to endure. They will one day break. But Jesus says, I will lay down my life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the one who provides a bridge. Walk across. And how do we do that? You do it by faith. In other words, you do it just as you would a bridge that an engineer builds or designs and somebody builds. And you drive your car across it by faith, or you walk across it by faith. You do the very same thing with Jesus, and you say, okay, Jesus, I'm willing to entrust my life to you. Will you take away, you know, my sin? Will you take away and I give you my issues? Or whatever it is that's in your mind, whatever is the turbulence that you're going through. And Jesus lays down and he says, I lay down my life. Nobody takes it from me. I lay down my life of my own accord. It's my own choice. He lays down his life. And by faith, we walk across, and he is a bridge over troubled waters. In a moment, Paul is going to lead us around what we call communion. Communion really is just this idea that we share something in common. It's from that we get the word koinonia, koine. Koine Greek was the common Greek language of the day. Koinonia is fellowship. It's what we share in common. Communion is the common life that you and I have when we put our faith and trust in Christ and we become part of the family of God. And so I encourage you today, as we gather around the Lord's table, to celebrate and rejoice in that common life that we have in Christ. Let him deal with the troubled waters in your life. Let him speak peace and calm and forgiveness. And let us walk by faith into the new life that is available in Christ when we turn away from trusting in ourselves and we put our faith and our trust solely in what Jesus did on the cross as he died for you and for me, and as he rose again from the dead, and as he therefore said to Thomas, he says to you and to me, listen, there's lots of room in heaven, lots of rooms that are reserved right there ready for you. I go to prepare it for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will receive you to be with me forever. Shall we pray? Our Father, I pray that as we gather around your table this morning, Father, that these promises from the Gospel of John will speak encouragement and peace, Lord, into our turbulent waters, troubled hearts, that we might know the wholeness, the peace that comes as we come into a relationship with you through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.